Welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Tyson Ferris.
I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
And we have, what, part five?
Five.
Of Jaws 2, the deep dive.
Deep dive discussion. As opposed to minute by minute.
Still giving it some good time here.
I think we just found the name for our season two. We're deep diving.
Deep dive.
On everything.
There you go.
We're 1 hour and 15 minutes into this movie, if you want to catch up.
There we go. We just got done with the Tina and Eddie attack scene. And now we got Brody going out to find Michael. Mm-hmm.
First, we get the scene where he talks to the diver. We kind of already talked about
that. Yeah, we kind of talked about that. I'm kind of skipping over some stuff just because I just don't feel like it needs to be talked about.
Nope.
So, yeah, Brody's going out to find Michael. I love that we have Ellen come along with him.
Yeah, that's definitely, from what I've read on the making of this movie, that's kind of a Sid Sheinberg, I want more of my wife in this movie.
Oh, I don't love that.
But. No, but I'm all fine. I love that Lorraine Gary's in this movie.
I don't argue the conceit of it, but. I don't like that. That's the reason.
Yes. Well, there was supposed to be like she was supposed to be in it more, like fighting the shark. Sneak preview, Jaws 4. But yeah, they definitely I think the writers and the director were like, nah, let's make this about Martin. But I do like the way they set it up that she wants to go out with him. I think it works perfectly.
Yeah. So I think it's really neat. I think that she's like, hey, I'm on board with my husband. It shows their relationship. It shows, you know, this woman that cares for her kids. And then he almost immediately abandons her.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, and before we get to that scene, I think this is following on the heels of the Tina and Eddie scene, them finding Tina and her, the actress and her reaction and her yelling shark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously we, the audience, know there's a shark, but this is the scene.
This is the scene where we know for a fact Brody and.
Yes.
Brody, this is the first time Brody knows for a fact that there is a shark.
It's a shark. Yes.
It's an hour and 20 minutes in. I made a note of it.
Yes. As opposed to not that far into Jaws 1. But yeah, this whole, so him like leaving his wife out there.
Well, they suspect a shark a lot in Jaws, but we never, it's not until the pond scene that we really.
Which is certainly not an hour and 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, but it's like 2/3 into the movie. Like,
the pond scene?
Is it?
Is
that more like halfway?
It's
past halfway.
Well, maybe. I know that we start the second half of the movie at about the 1 hour and 10 minute mark. In Jaws 1, 1:15.
Okay.
So it might have happened right at the halfway point, I would say.
Okay. So this is a little further, but yeah, I mean.
But it's a fantastic scene. And the way they shoot her, the way she delivers the line, like it's powerful.
It's powerful. Yeah, absolutely. And she's all white and like, it's pretty great. So this is the first time he actually knows there's a shark in earnest. There's not a single scene in this film where Brody doubts his beliefs.
No.
Don't you feel like that should be in this film somewhere?
Where he does doubt his
beliefs? Where he's like, maybe I am crazy.
Yes, that's missing from this movie. They could have set up.
He constantly thinks he's right, and then he finds out that he's right. But right. For an hour and 20 minutes, this guy has had no proof of any sharks.
Right.
Just a sneaking suspicion in the back of his head.
And they do miss an opportunity when she screams shark. They do a cutaway to Brody where he's just kind of like 1,000-yard stare. Like, they miss an opportunity for him to like,
I knew it. I
to
knew
come
it.
Back. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like he could have doubted himself in the previous scene and then come back and hear. And I'm not saying he had to have like an aha moment, but they could have like put in a moment, anything more than what's there now of him.
It's like, yep, I was right. And I was right. Yeah. And I was right. And you know, I'm right when I'm right.
Yeah. And they kind of deliver it by him just going like, you guys stay here. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know, so. But you have to, you really have to like, as an audience, it's not, it should be a little more presented to the audience. Anyway, it's a missed opportunity.
I just feel like it would be more satisfying him finding out that there's actually a shark if he actually doubted himself at some point.
Yes.
Because I think logically he should doubt himself at some point.
Yeah. It missed opportunities abound in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the, you know, it's one of these, there's many, many movies like this where you're just, if it had just been outright bad, you'd be like, it's bad. I don't care. But this movie, like, it's just so on the edge of
it's
like.
It's so close to being really good.
Pretty good to really good.
Yeah. And then it's like.
You're mad at the missteps. Uh-huh. Whereas normally you could be indifferent. Like, yeah.
So I have a lot. So this point that we're talking about, we will circle back to this. I will talk about this more at the end.
The Brody reaction.
Yeah. Well, just this kind of moment here where he actually finds out about a shark and just, yeah. Anyway, so yeah. a little teaser for that. Now we have the shark, just attacking these boats. For no ostensible reason, just to attack them.
Yep. because there's 35 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah. So he's definitely now like he's the slasher film villain at this point.
Well, he ate a teenager. They taste pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got yesterday's beer.
Yeah.
Maybe a little weed. They taste good.
Now, that said, all these boats crashing and capsizing is filmed pretty great.
Yeah, it's a fantastic scene.
It's actually a pretty great scene.
Yes.
I actually like it a lot.
And it's almost a setup for something that I wish there was more of, and that is just this, you know, derelict bunch of catamarans and sailboats. Like
that are all kind of lashed together. And
like it almost like a survival movie.
Yeah, you know,
like in USS Indianapolis, like they've
taken pieces of things and made it into a thing that they can survive on.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like I don't know how to pull that off, but like I feel like there's.
I think they kind of do that in this film, and I think it works. Honestly,
it does, and it works to the point where I want more of it. I don't get it.
I want this part of the movie
to start 20 minutes ago.
Gotcha.
I want the second half, just like Jaws 1, the second half is all Orca. I want the second half of this movie to be all
sailboats.
Derelict sailboats.
Yeah. So I have a note here. I don't know the movie well enough, but there must have been something that happened in this scene. The cutting between fake shark and real shark works way better in this film than it does in the first film.
100%. And here's my answer as to why. They don't show the face of the shark. And if they do, it's like tight enough that you can't go like, oh, that's a totally different shark. If you see the face of the shark, the nose, it's just like, well, there's the nose, there's an eye, but they mainly are focusing on the shark's torso for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it just works so much better in this film than it does in Jaws.
For sure.
Well done, Jaws 2. That's I think the one thing you beat Jaws on.
Yes. And if we want to throw that down on the editing, now we all know Verna Fields, great editor. And did she won the Academy Award for Jaws for editing? Yep. Okay. The editor on this is Neil Travis. And I wondered if he had any other big credits under his belt. He's the Academy Award winning editor of Dances with Wolves.
Cool.
And aside from that, has mostly Jaws 2-esque credits to his name. He did Cocktail, Cujo, No Way Out. I mean, it's Dances with Wolves is by far his biggest credit.
Cool. But
anyway. Oh, no, no, wait. Sorry. I take it back. He had Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, so that's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I have another. I know this has. I almost said I know this has surfaced, but I know this has happened before in the film, but I think it really shows up here in a nice way. The Finn POV shot is great.
The Finn POV shot.
So it's a shot where you can see the shark in the water and you can see its fin like in foreground. So you're like riding on its back almost.
Oh,
as it goes after.
There is behind the scenes shots of this movie of the cameraman riding the mechanical shark's back.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a great shot and I love it.
Are we to that part yet? I'm trying to. I know that.
It must show up in the scene. So
I know. Yeah. There's.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is right. So they're going to get Michael. Right. Michael's fallen off.
Okay. That's floating out in the water. I wasn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
Michael is knocked out. He's in the water.
He's in the water. They're trying to get him. And then, so then you see him, they're trying to get him onto the boat. And that's when you see this Finn POV shot. And we've seen it before.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
A couple, I think twice, maybe two or three times before.
Yeah.
But not quite in this, not quite as aggressively as this.
The whole pulling Michael out of the water scene from, so if you're going to, so he falls in the water, but then they lose track of the shark. Mm-hmm. And then there's a shot of Brody, of Michael Brody floating in the water, knocked out. And then there's just a shot of still water and the shark fin just like just pops right up. And I think there's a music cue on it where it goes like, duh, dun.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this whole sequence is great too. So they're trying to get him in the water, And then you can see it like from the Finn's point of view and you can see the shark out in front of the camera and it hones in on him in the boat. And it's like, I'm coming at him and I'm going for him. And it's
and they're trying to pull him up and they lose him.
Yeah. They're trying to pull him up, And then the shark jumps and careens across the side of the boat and they just pull him in just right at the last second. And God, it's so good.
Isn't that the like money shot of the movie?
It's the money shot of the movie. The shark never looks better.
Yes.
It looks so fantastic. And it's literally just inches away from him.
Yeah.
You
know, when they shot that, they're just like, they went back and looked at the dailies and like, we got it.
Yeah. I mean, God, it's such a good shot.
So to back up.
And genuinely scary.
And one thing I'll add to that is, so imagine Jaws 1. All the shark scenes in that movie, you have your audience watching it in the theater who are at the movie going like, oh, get out. And they're screaming and they're, you know, into the movie and they're yelling back at the screen. That's not happening in the movie. No characters in the movie do that. In Jaws 2, from here on out to the end of the movie, every time there's a shark, the characters in the movie are going, come on, get out of the water. And like, it becomes like an audience participation where they care. And if you're just sitting at home, I wondered how you would deal with this. So you and Kara are sitting at home. Like, I've read criticism of this movie is like, oh, the characters are, the teenagers are annoying. They're screaming all the time. And I watch this movie and go like, yeah, that's what I was doing. Like, it doesn't feel like.
It doesn't bother me in this scene.
No, it does go a notch higher in the end. Okay. So you'd mentioned the shark never looking better in the, and it is a great shot. And the first time you watch it, it pulls off perfectly. But did you watch that scene more than once? Cause there's a bit of a problem with the shark grazing off the side of the boat shot.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I just remember it being fantastic.
It's fantastic.
And very scary and like just razor thin margins happening. And like, I don't know. I just loved everything about it.
I will say that it takes like five viewings of the movie and like the internet to show you like, oh, but did you catch this flub? There's two flubs.
Okay.
One is the shark. The mechanical shark is so slammed up against the boat that the top of his mouth is a V. Like literally his teeth go like this.
Oh, okay.
And then two, his mouth is so agape that you can look inside and see all the hydraulics.
Oh, really?
Which happens in Jaws 1. It's not a there's shots that, you know, it's not a flub, but
yeah.
I think like probably on the fourth or fifth time I watched this movie, I've
never noticed it in
Joseph. Wow, his mouth bends in a way it's not supposed to bend. But okay, I got that out of the way, but I'm totally on board with where you're at. Like that shot, that scene, the sound,
it's
the
great
music. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. I love it.
It's very scary. My legs were up off the ground.
Yes, I was like, exactly. Ah! And like, the first time I saw this, where, you know, whenever on TV, 25, 30 years ago, an audience members of 1970, if you went to this movie going like, I want this shark thing to like just pay off in a big way. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh, yep, that's what Jaws 2 should do.
Absolutely.
It should do that.
Stuffed like just like that.
Yes. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Then we get lashing all the boats together, mm-hmm. which is also a pretty good scene showing how they're kind of trying to all come together as a group. And then once again, this cousin that we're supposed to like is completely unlikable again. She's just like,
she's like checked out.
She's completely checked out. She's not helping at all. And they like make a point to show that. Like, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just.
And then the whole like plot point of someone sailing away to like get help. Like, I totally forgot it. Like, I watched it two nights ago. I'm like, oh yeah, someone does that.
Oh yeah. Timmy does that.
And what happens?
He sails away with Michael and this other guy and loses the girl at some point, apparently.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even get to go off with the girl. So like all this stuff that they've set up with Timmy, like,
doesn't he run into Brody later?
Like, he does run into Brody later, and then they end up taking, they run into Brody,
it
and
gives like, Brody the plot point of like, this is where
this is where be. They're going,
right?
Basically. And then Michael says he's sorry to his dad, and then basically they leave and they're never seen again. So
Michael Brody's not in the whole finale of the movie.
Yeah.
Weird. Don't understand that plot point.
Yeah. So then basically I was really, for all its warts and everything, I was really enjoying the film right up until this point.
From here to the end is where it goes downhill for you?
Yes.
Because
now we have a helicopter come in.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And that helicopter comes in and it lands and he's talking to him. And I was like, I'm sitting there and I was like, damn it, Jaws 2. I was like, if you have this f-ing shark attack this f-ing helicopter, I'm like, don't do it.
What's your problem? I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what's the problem? Shark eats a helicopter?
Shark eats a helicopter. What else do I have to say? Yeah. Do I have to defend that standpoint?
I know, but I guess just at this point in the movie, I don't know how it like.
Because it's.
I'm with you. If I'm taking a scissors to this movie in the editing bay, this scene's gone. It's gone. But.
There's no point to it other than to have a shark attack a helicopter.
Yeah. And why does the guy have like a weird, like Amish beard?
Yeah, but that's just, I mean, that's neither here nor there. Yeah.
Quick point to interject. And I think we're going to save this for a later episode. Jaws 2, the comic.
Yeah, I've not read it yet.
Okay.
You asked me not to.
Okay. Yeah. Because we need to do a whole episode. But anyway, the helicopter scene in the comic is, you think this is bonkers. I remember reading it and going like, oh wow.
Anyway,
there's so many wow moments in that. We'll save that for later.
Yeah, but I just sitting there and I was just like, okay, well, this is happening. And yeah. I'm completely out of this movie.
And you don't get back into it after the scene is over? Because there's still some good stuff coming.
I had trouble getting back into the movie after this.
That's understandable.
It just lost me.
Well, I want to tell you what I like after this scene, but I'll wait till we get.
I'm to sure. Those scenes. I think there are things I like that happen, but boy, oh boy.
But that's.
It just was. It really took me out of the film in a big bad way.
I like the idea of their Daryl. Like I said before, I want more of the derelict sailing group lashed together. Mm-hmm. And I want more of like a survival element coming into it, a la Indianapolis. But and yeah, I like the idea but
I want them to be more like the Goonies, like yes, banding together in the face of adversity. And
that's the movie that we didn't get here. I want the Goonies.
And instead they just yell and scream at each other. And
yeah.
And just they all end up being.
Here's a character you've never met before. We're just going to have him show up and.
But they all end up becoming less and less likable as the movie goes along because they just end up just falling apart and screaming at each other. Mm-hmm. And
here to the end of the movie.
From here to the end of the movie. And it just gets worse and worse. And but gosh, this freaking shark eating helicopter, I could not get around it.
Hey, there's a bunch of kids on boats with their feet inches from the water. I'm going to go for this helicopter.
Yeah.
It's where the shark becomes like sentient.
It's just unbelievable. I just can't, I am totally fine with a shark jumping onto the back of a boat and snapping it in half and eating the captain.
Your suspension of disbelief is working.
Because it somehow that movie gets me there. This movie has not got me there.
This helicopter scene is completely unearned.
It's unearned.
It's just like the scuba diver, the crabbing scuba divers. That's unearned.
Yeah.
It's the third time in this movie they've thrown in like, we need a shark attack scene here. Who can we just throw in the middle of this movie?
Yeah.
To get eaten.
Anyway, it showed up and I was like, oh, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't. I was just sitting there and I was like, oh.
I was excited to see the helicopter towing sailboats. That's what I
thought that was going to be cool.
And then the shark can attack the sailboats.
And the shark can attack the sailboats. I'm totally fine with that.
And maybe he gets a sailboat. And maybe he gets a sailboat that the helicopter is attached to and pulls the sailboat. And that crashes.
And that crashes the helicopter. Be totally fine with that.
Yeah. And just as shootable and executable as what they did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's how you can move your derelict sailboat plot point to be the second half of the movie.
Absolutely. I 100%. You just barely tweak that and all of a sudden it becomes totally fine and doable and just as doable as what they did.
Mm-hmm. And a way cooler looking thing to look at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cost money. I'm sure that's maybe they had this idea and they just went, nah, it costs too much money.
But I can't imagine that would cost any more money than what they did.
Yeah. Like, they crashed a helicopter.
Yeah. They still had to make a fake helicopter and bust it apart.
It doesn't look like a model. I think they crashed. I don't know how they did that. That whole scene where the helicopter does, tip over.
I do like that you get propeller bits flying out.
That's cool.
I do like that part.
Yep.
Anywho, I don't want to harp on this too much. I think it's.
Did you see the deleted scene of the pilot getting eaten?
Yes.
Yeah. So the helicopter scene's in. We hate it, but do you?
I like it more if that's in.
I'm with you 100%. Why cut that out? This movie is going for broke on this stupid plot point.
Because you know why I like it? Because now it's that he doesn't want to eat the helicopter. He wants to eat the pilot in the helicopter.
Yeah.
I buy.
Because like this, it's just like, no, I don't want the kids to get rescued. That's what the shark is doing. It makes way more sense.
It just doesn't make any sense the way it is.
No.
But if it's actually trying to get the man in the tasty Amish man in the helicopter, then I buy it.
Yeah. And what I was trying to say before is like, you're putting this helicopter scene in.
I buy it. A little bit more, I guess.
You're putting this helicopter scene in. Go for broke. Eat the helicopter. Show it. I don't really know why they cut it out. That's what I'm saying.
My understanding is body count to get a PG.
Oh. So the PG-13. It had PG-13 existed. That scene's back in.
Yep.
All right. Well, lame-o.
Yep. So then we get a scene of the girl rescuing Sean.
Okay, take okay.
Basically,
start over your sentence.
Yeah, there. People get knocked off boats, and one of the girls has to rescue Sean, get him back up on top of the the flipped over boat that they have. And he's trying to help her, but he's just a little kid and can't help her. And she gets ate up.
So
this is brutal.
Brutal. Okay. So let me take you back to when we were recording Jaws Minute. And we talked about the estuary scene where Ted Grossman, stuntman, got eaten. And you see the shot of the shark underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying, like, scariest shot in the movie.
Yes.
In Jaws 1 is the underwater shark.
That kind of sees on his side.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said to you and Kara in that episode that there's a shot in Jaws 2 that might be scarier.
Uh-huh.
And so half the reason I wanted to get into Jaws 2 and record this whole podcast is to talk about this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have much to say other than I vividly remember seeing Jaws 2 for the first time and this scene right here, like,
it's very scary.
It's very scary. And yeah. I think I remember, like,
it's scary and just it's like kind of unseen brutality, I guess.
And it's the imagery, the shark under the water, it's so nightmarish. It's like, it's like a demon from hell coming up under the water. And the music. That play, do you remember the music cue for that scene?
So my note here is, and this is where we differ. I said Jaws, this is what I have written out. Jaws eating the girl is brutal and so well executed filmically, but somehow it seems to suck any fun out of the film at this point.
Yes. That
and they are utterly hopeless here.
This is a scene that I think brings the movie. You can go either way on this. And I myself am a perfect example of this because when I saw the movie, when I, you know, however long ago, I remember seeing this scene. It was so visceral to me as a 10-year-old kid that I was laying on my grandma's bed. I remember this. She had a TV in her bedroom, a little 19-inch TV. I remember like seeing it. Getting up, walking out of the bedroom, and kind of realizing as a 10-year-old boy, like, I can't unsee that. I have nightmare fuel for the next decade of my life.
Oh, no.
Like, you know how your parents, like, if you wake up in the middle of the night and have a nightmare and you tell your parents, they're like, well, of course you had that nightmare. You watched that movie.
Yeah.
Jaws 2. Like, you shouldn't watch that. And it, you could argue, and I think this is what you were saying, like, it stops the movie cold. It's so, it, like, Alex Kittner in Jaws 1, like, that's harsh, that's cold, like, it's a brutal scene.
But it doesn't stop the film. The film still has heart here, or has heart after Kittner. I feel like this is a flat line after this.
It's,
like, this is a heart attack moment for this film. Like, I just feel like.
Yeah. It does. You feel like if the movie was going to stick to this, like if the movie just doubled down on this shark is going to murder the these kids.
Yeah.
You feel like from here to the end of the movie, like it's just going to get,
it's got
to
get more and more brutal every single time.
Yes. Like, you just went there. It's going to stay there, but it doesn't.
No, instead we have, Sean trying to grab a rope that takes damn forever.
Yeah. Yes. It's yeah. I'm thinking about the scene.
Oh, if you still want to talk about it.
Well, I just got to throw down just like there's some.
So is this scene good?
Yeah. As a shark attack scene in a Jaws sequel.
I think it's fantastic.
There's a way you can work it into a movie. It just feels weird.
I'm just saying where it sits in this film. I just don't think it's too much.
It's too much. It doesn't tonally match the rest of the, this movie's all over the place tonally with, yeah.
For like, this to come right after the crazy ass helicopter thing.
Yeah. Different movies.
It's completely two different movies. It's just.
So what I was going to throw down, and I'm just like praising the movie here. praising the scene, not mm-hmm. the movie. Just the way the music builds, the editing builds. Like, I just think it's a technically speaking, it's a fantastic scene.
100%.
And I've literally have watched this like 30 seconds of film 100 times mm-hmm. more than the rest of the movie. But the way, so the shots that I love is first you have the tight shot of Sean Brody pulling himself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember laying, you know, watching this movie and just be like, pull yourself. You know, I'm just like, I'm doing what he's doing. Like, pull, pull, mm-hmm. pull. And then it cuts to the shot after that is underwater. You see legs kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut to the girl, the only, in my opinion, one of the few sympathetic characters in this scene. Like, because she's the girl who, like, takes poor little Sean Brody on her boat with him. And yeah, she's and so
also
nice
why,
to him.
And also, why is this the girl that gets...
Yeah, I don't know. Because she's sympathetic. Like, they set her up as like a wonderful, nice person. So yeah, we got to eat her later. And but
why can't this be Hot Girl?
Because you want her to die. You don't want this girl to die. She's nice to the little kid. And the next shot is she's trying to pull herself up, and she says literally, like, her saying this like is what resonates. She says, "I can't get up." You know, like, she's saying it. And like, that's in my nightmare, you know, where you're trying to like, and you're screaming to help for someone like, I can't get out. I can't get out. And then on top of that, then you cut to the underwater overhead shot of the shark rising underwater
mm-hmm.
and the music crescendos to that. I'm always feel embarrassed when I try to do John Williams music with my voice,
sure.
but it just goes bum, bum.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the reverse shot where the shark clearly like chomps.
Uh-huh.
And that shot, I kind of like, part of me like wishes like, no, I want to see shark.
See,
murder.
I like the ambiguity of it.
Yeah. It's
you kind of see like an arm flail.
Yes.
And a chomp, and then she's gone.
And in so many ways, it's like, harsher, like this. I know Alex Kintner disappears in a fountain of blood.
Well, it's like Alien, where you know, the less you show, you know, it's just it's scarier
anyway.
Yeah,
and the fact that while this, and then after the chomp, you get a 8-year-old kid screaming no, and then you cut to horrible girlfriend, cousin girls, who gets to cap the whole scene off with just screaming, screaming, screaming.
Yeah,
which. It's the only time where her character for that works. Like, mm-hmm. like, yeah, scream your head off. Anyway.
Yeah.
This concludes my in praise of Jaws 2.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that. And that on that note, we should probably end and come back next time for... What's probably the final,
who
knows? We could probably talk about the last 30 minutes of this movie for
I'm telling
hours.
You right now, it's the final one.
I think you're right. I'll say it right now. This movie just peaked.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody, right here on the Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.